ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text 9, right? So it's prose, so what I just chant word for word, right? Okay. Tat, that, yata, as, balishanam, of the fools, swayam, by yourself. O Lord of Lords, we are completely ignorant of the execution of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, the process of liberation, because we do not actually know the goal of life. You have appeared personally before us like a person soliciting worship, but actually you are present here just so we can see you. You have come out of your abundant and causeless mercy in order to serve our purpose, our interest, and give us the benefit of your personal glory called Apavarga, liberation. You have come, although you are not properly worshipped by us, due to our ignorance. Purport. Lord Vishnu was personally present at the sacrificial arena, but this does not mean that he had any interest in his own personal benefit. Similarly, the Archavigraha, the deity in the temple, is present for the same purpose. Out of his causeless mercy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead presents himself before us so that we can see him. Since we have no transcendental vision, we cannot see the spiritual Satchidananda Vigraha of the Lord. Therefore, out of his causeless mercy, he comes in a form we can see. We can only see material things, like stone and wood, and therefore he accepts a form of stone and wood and thus accepts our service in the temple. This is an exhibition of the Lord's causeless mercy. Although he has no interest in such things, in order to receive our loving service, he agrees to act as he does. We cannot actually offer suitable paraphernalia for the Lord's worship because we are completely ignorant. It was out of his causeless mercy that the Lord appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabi. So I am here this morning at the request of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. By his order, I am sitting here, although I have no qualification. So I pray that all of you will please tolerate whatever mistakes I make, and bless me that I may say something worthy for all of you to hear. Without such blessings, I know I certainly would not be able to speak. Just as we oftentimes begin, that it's only by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, by their mercy, even a blind man can see, a lame man can cross mountains, and a dumb man can speak eloquent words. So, please bless me so that I may say something worthy. Here we see in this verse the priests of Maharaj Nabi, they are offering prayers. And admitting their inadequacies, their inability to sufficiently worship the Lord, to offer him proper worship, proper paraphernalia, and therefore they understand that the Lord has very kindly agreed to appear before them simply due to his causeless mercy upon them. They're saying that we don't even understand what is the goal of life, what is the process of purushartha, the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, the means for achieving liberation. But you have very kindly appeared before us for our benefit. You have not come here to solicit any worship. You do not need anything. And whatever we would offer, even if it would be of great value, would be still inadequate. Because the Lord, of course, considers that which is most valuable. He considers that which is most valuable in terms of the loving attitude which is being offered, and does not consider simply some gold or silver or some other offerings of sacrifice to be that which is he is in need of or want of. So, therefore the priests are saying that you have not come here for any other purpose except for our benefit. By your causeless mercy, you have appeared before us simply so that we may see you. And so that you can, you have come out of your abundant and causeless mercy in order to serve our purpose, our interest, and give us the benefit of your personal glory, ultimately called liberation. So we understand that is the nature of the Lord. He has great compassion and kindness upon the fallen conditioned soul, as does a devotee of the Lord. The Lord will appear to attract the conditioned souls and to awaken within their hearts the ultimate goal of life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Similarly, the devotees of the Lord, they appear with for the same purpose. The devotees of the Lord, they appear in order to bestow the benediction of pure devotional service, and to give those who are fallen and conditioned souls who are ignorant of the goal of life the opportunity to come in contact with the Lord. Because it is this contact with the Lord which ultimately awakens within the heart of the living entity the desire to obtain the Lord. Just as the Lord has appeared in the sacrificial arena, and it has been explained by dint of the devotion of Maharaj Nabi. Therefore, the Lord very kindly appeared. But the Lord does not appear whimsically. Just as that verse in the, I think it's Mundaka Upanishad, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedya Nabuhuna Shutena, that the Supreme Lord is not attained by expert explanations, by vast intelligence, nor even by such hearing. The Supreme Lord is attained, appears before those to who he himself chooses. To such a person, he manifests his transcendental form. And in the following verse, it's very interesting how it is described that Nayamatma Balahanena Labhya Nacha Pramadat Tapaso Vapyalingat. In the following verse, it is explained that the Supreme Lord is not attained by those who have no spiritual strength, to those who are careless and wild, and to those who are austerities or inappropriate. The Lord appears personally to those who are always striving to achieve him by the right means. And such persons, they enter into the spiritual world. Prabhupada refers to this verse in the Krishna book, when he's talking about the appearance of Lord Balaram, he uses the word Bala. Nayamatma Bala Hanena Labhya. But the word Bala means spiritual strength. And he said that if one actually wants to attain, ultimately attain the lotus feet of the Lord, one requires spiritual strength. He says, therefore, this Bala, this spiritual strength, comes from Lord Balaram. He is the source, unlimited source of spiritual strength. And the verse says, Nayamatma Bala Hanena Labhya, which means the Supreme Lord cannot be attained by those who have no spiritual strength. To those who are wild or careless, to those whose austerities are inappropriate. One actually has to strive to achieve the Lord by the right means. The right means, of course, means that one has to make the endeavor to ultimately achieve the Supreme Lord. Here, these priests are saying, we don't even know what the goal is. He said, we are completely ignorant of the execution of Dharma Artha because we do not actually know what the goal. What is the goal of life. We don't even know that the goal is to achieve pure devotional service to you. But yet out of your causeless mercy, you have appeared before us. So, of course, the Lord may appear before the devotee. Or a devotee of the Lord may appear before the devotee. But even though the Lord may appear, still, one actually has to strive to achieve the goal. The Lord sometimes may appear before his devotees in order to help the devotee to increase his desire, to increase his attachment, to increase his determination. When the devotee actually comes in contact with the Lord, then he knows what is the goal. Just like the example, Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj actually wanted to get the association of the Lord, but he had other interests. He had a different goal. Still, by the mercy of Narada Muni, the Lord, and by the mercy of the Lord who appeared before Dhruva Maharaj, Maharaj gradually realized that there was another goal higher than the goal that he had. So just simply to obtain the darshan of the Lord, just as we are so greatly fortunate, as Prabhupada is saying, we have the great fortune to attain the darshan of the Lord every day, who appears in his form of his archa vigraha. We have this same fortune. The Lord, Prabhupada says, the Lord appears personally to the priests in this sacrificial arena, and the Lord also appears as his archa vigraha before the devotees. Not because he has anything that he wants from us, but for our benefit. So that we can actually, as a result of coming in contact with the Lord, we can actually cultivate the desire to achieve shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. By be given the opportunity to daily see the Lord, to purify our eyes by seeing the transcendental form of the Lord. So it's not just simply seeing that all perfection is achieved. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes this point in his Bhakti Tattva Viveka. He describes that how the devotees of the Lord, how persons become qualified for devotional service, quoting the verse, Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam Jana Sukhatino Jana Arto Jigyasa Artarti Gyanicha Bharatar Shabha. He says, four types of pious persons, they can achieve me. Those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, those who are distressed, and those who are wise. But he explains that these four types of persons, they are described as pious persons. They have sukriti. Right? They have some piety. But it's actually not piety alone which enables them to achieve pure devotional service. And just as in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy explains that pure devotional service cannot be had even by millions of births of pious activities. Pure devotional service can be obtained only to those who have this intense desire to achieve it. He says, therefore, wherever one sees it, one must immediately purchase it without delay. So it is not pious activities alone. It is not that if a person is distressed, he has the qualification for pure devotional service. Or if a person is in need of money, he has a qualification for pure. That is not his qualification, that he's distressed, in need of money, or inquisitive, or wise. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives different examples. He gives the example of a person who's distressed. There's the example of Gajendra. Gajendra was distressed. He was in great distress. He was struggling under the grip of the crocodile for 1,000 years. Right? The crocodile had taken his leg and pulled him into the lake. And because the crocodile was in the water, which was his natural habitat, and the elephant was not in his natural habitat, the crocodile was getting strength and the elephant was becoming weaker and weaker. And he was in such great distress that all he could remember was these prayers that he had remembered from a previous life. These prayers appeared in his mind. He began offering prayers to the Lord. And the Lord appeared before Gajendra. When the Lord appeared before Gajendra, the Lord delivered Gajendra from his distressful condition, removed the desire to become free from distress from within his heart, and then he became qualified for pure devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the sukriti, there's different types of sukriti. One is called bhoganmukhi sukriti, another is called mokshanmukhi sukriti, another is called bhaktyanmukhi sukriti. Sukriti means pious activities. Real sukriti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes Srila Jiva Goswami from his Bhakti Sandarbha. He says, real sukriti means activities in connection with transcendental personalities which gives rise to an intense desire to serve Krishna. That is sukriti. So, bhoganmukhi sukriti means by dint of some pious activities, one gets bhoga. One gets some enjoyment in his future life. Just as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? Yami mam pushpatam vaksam vedavada ritapata. Men of small intelligence, they're attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas which recommend various sacrifices for elevation to the heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, and so forth. Being attached to sense, enjoyment, and opulent life, they think there's nothing more than this. They think that the goal of the Vedas is to perform sacrifice in order to achieve some enjoyment in a future life. This is bhoga. Bhoga, sense enjoyment. Or bhakti. Right? If one performs pious activities, he may get some enjoyment in his next life, but this is not real sukriti. Mokshanmukhi sukriti means by performance of pious activities over many lives, one actually can achieve liberation, which is also described here as one of the goals of life. But as we know from the statement of Bilva Mangala Thakur, he says, Mukti svayam mukuli tanjati, mukuli tanjati, seva tesman. Dharmata kama gataya samaya patiksha. He says, for anyone who is by good fortune, for anyone who has seen that beautiful youthful form of Krishna, then having seen that beautiful youthful form, one knows what is the goal. For such a person, having come in contact with that beautiful youthful form of the Lord, then liberation stands waiting at his doorstep with her hands folded, ready to serve him. And what to speak of liberation, then dharma, artha, and kama also, they stand waiting behind for an opportunity to render some service. So, Bilva Mangala Thakur has explained, for one who's understood the goal is that beautiful, youthful form of Krishna, and by good fortune, use the word good fortune. Good fortune is something that is very, very essential, characteristic. So mokshanmukhi sukriti means that, all right, one has engaged in many pious activities and then maybe he may achieve liberation, but that's, as Bilva Mangala Thakur explains, that is not the goal. Liberation is not the goal for a devotee, because for a devotee, simply becoming attracted to that beautiful form of Krishna, liberation is just simply one of the byproducts. Devotee's not even interested. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. The devotee of the Lord, he is desireless. Therefore, he can be peaceful. Whereas those who desire bhukti, those who desire mukti, those who desire mystic yogic perfections, they are karmi. They still have lusty desires. Sakali ashanta. Therefore, they can never be peaceful. So those who desire moksha, or liberation, they cannot be peaceful. They still have some kami. They still have some lusty desires within the heart. Something they want to achieve. So moksha and mukti sukriti is also described as not being so very auspicious. But what is the most auspicious sukriti? Most auspicious sukriti to achieve in one's life is called bhakti and mukti sukriti. And bhakti and mukti sukriti means that one gets the opportunity to associate with a devotee of the Lord. Or just as Jiva Goswami explains, activities in connection with transcendental personalities, which gives rise to an intense desire to serve Krishna. That is real sukriti. That is most auspicious sukriti. So the example is given of Gajendra. He was distressed. But what was his qualification? When did he become qualified? He didn't become qualified because he was distressful. He was full of distress. That was not his qualification. His qualification appeared when the desire to become relieved from distress was gone from his heart. Then he became qualified. And how did that happen? Because of some transcendental connection. He saw the Lord, but by seeing the Lord, and that desire went away. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is given the example as there's those who are distressed, then there's those who are in need of money, those who want some opulence. So Dhruva Maharaj is an example of the person who wanted opulence. He wanted a kingdom better than his great-grandfather's. He wanted a kingdom better than Lord Brahma. Right? He also achieved the association of the darshan of the Lord. He got the association of Narada Muni, got the darshan of the Lord. So his activities were in connection with transcendental personalities. And what happened as a result of that connection with transcendental personalities? The result was the desire for opulence was gone. He no longer had it. Then he became qualified. His qualification appeared due to contact or association with the Lord and with the devotee of the Lord. The example of those who are acquisitive was given as Shaunaka Rishi, and the sages of Naimasharanya. Shaunaka Rishi, he was inquisitive. He had come before Suta Goswami, along with all the other sages. They had many questions they wanted to ask, because they understood that that Kali Yuga was approaching. Fruitive activities wouldn't work. They wanted to know, what is it that we can perform in this life? What can we achieve by this sacrifice that we can overcome the influence of Kali, which is very quickly approaching? So they had many questions, and questions were presented by the sages to Suta Goswami. So because they came in contact with Suta Goswami, the result of their contact with a devotee of the Lord is that they became free from their desires to have their inquisitive nature. They became fully satisfied. The desires were gone from their heart. They became qualified for pure devotional service. And then, of course, the example of the impersonalist was the four Kumaras. By coming in contact with the Lord, that contact developed within their hearts an intense desire to engage in service to the Lord. Simply by seeing the Lord, smelling the transcendental fragrance emanating from the lotus feet, from the aroma emanating from the tulsis, from the lotus feet of the Lord, the four Kumaras gave up their desires for impersonal liberation and then became simply interested in obtaining devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So the point is that sukriti means that by association with the Lord, or associated with a devotee of the Lord, that desire, intense desire, is awakened within the heart. In other words, one has to strive to achieve the Lord by the right means. Nayam atma balahanena labhya nachat pramadat tapaso vapyalingat. The Supreme Lord is not attained by those who have no spiritual strength, to those whose austerities are inappropriate, and to those who are wild and careless. The Supreme Lord personally appears before that devotee who is always striving to achieve him by the right means. What does it mean when he appears before the devotee? The devotee is able to see the Lord. One has to actually have the eyes to see the Lord. How can one actually really see the Lord properly? Not just simply by... As long as there's any desire within the heart, then one cannot really even see the Lord. One actually has to be free from all desires. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksa daivahidiyesha vilokiyanti. As Lord Brahma explains, when one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love of Godhead, then one can actually see Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, he said, you can see me as I am standing before me because I've given you the eyes by which you can see me. How did Arjuna see? And he said, only by undivided devotional service can I be seen before you as I am. Only then can you enter into the mysteries of understanding me. Right. One actually has to see the Lord, but if we actually want to see Radha Gopinath, then we actually have to see them with purified vision. They're very kindly coming before us to help us purify our vision. They're giving us their darshan, just as the Vaishnavas of the Lord. They're walking upon this earth, very kindly, one comes in contact with a devotee of the Lord, but what is their kindness? What is their mercy? They're giving us an opportunity to come in contact with the Supreme Lord. By their mercy, they can invoke the presence of the Lord, and one can achieve the darshan of the Lord by their kindness, by hearing. As Krishna says to Narada, Naham tishtami vaikunti yoginam hirdiyeshuva tatra tishtama narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. O Narada, I am not found in the Vaikuntha planets, nor am I found in the hearts of yogis. But if you want to see me, then you'll see me wherever my devotees are purely chanting my glories. I will go there. Then you can see me. That is how to see. The Lord and the devotees, they're very kind. They give us the opportunity to realize what is the goal. That is their kindness. They appear before us to help us understand what is the actual goal. And once the goal is awakened within the heart, then what happens? Once the goal is awakened within the heart, then the devotee strives to achieve that goal by the right means. The devotee ultimately has to make the effort himself also. It is not just simply... Yes, we get causeless mercy. Certainly we get causeless mercy by the Vaishnavas who are so very kind and compassionate upon us, who are always distributing their mercy in the form of Hari Katha, who are always distributing their mercy in the form of their kindness upon us, trying to help us to advance in spiritual life, always showing compassion upon us. That is certainly mercy. Mercy of the Lord follows the devotees of the Lord. The devotees are carriers of that mercy, just as Prabhupada would oftentimes give the example as that the cloud is taking the water from the ocean and is redistributing the ocean water, right, in the form of rain. In the same way, the Vaishnavas are taking the mercy from the Supreme Lord, the carriers of the Lord's mercy, His kindness, and they're distributing that mercy for our benefit. But what is that mercy? What is it meant to do? It's meant to awaken within our hearts the desire to achieve the lotus feet of the Lord. Because once that desire is awakened within the heart, then the devotee can continue to strive to obtain that pure that darshan of the Lord by the right means. Endeavor is all, our endeavor has to be there. It's required. And therefore, we say real sukriti means activities in connection with transcendental personalities, which gives rise to a very intense desire. Dhruva Maharaj had a very intense desire to achieve the darshan of the Lord. Narada Muni had a very intense desire, right? By his association with Bhakti Vedantas, by taking the remnants of their foodstuffs, by hearing their katha, and by rendering menial service to them, awakened within his heart a very intense desire. So much so that by that association, he became freed from distress. It was Narada Muni who said that in the association of great personalities who are always chanting the glories of the Lord, in their association, and by hearing their talks about the Lord, which continuously flows like the waves of the river, One will forget about all the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst. And one will become free from all kinds of illusion, lamentation, and fear. Narada Muni spoke this verse. Why? Because in his previous life, by his association with Bhaktivedanta, even though at the age of 5, his mother was bitten by a serpent. But what did Narada Muni do? He was free from lamentation. He was free from fear. He simply wandered about looking. Having achieved the darshan of the Lord through the Bhaktivedantas, having heard their kirtan, having taken their remnants, awakened within him his heart an intense desire to go to the forest and to find the Supreme Lord. And he began sitting and meditating in order to actually get the darshan. The Lord spoke to him in that place and said, Narada, I regret that this is the last time you'll see me in this life. Right? The Lord also gave his mercy to Narada. He said, now I'm appearing before you, but it's the last time you'll see me, because the more you hanker for me, then whatever is left within your heart will become completely burnt up, destroyed by your intense desire to achieve me. Therefore, I'm appearing before you now just simply to awaken that intense desire to achieve that darshan again. And this is kindness. So this is described as sukriti. This is real mercy. This is how the conditioned soul, the living entity who is trapped in the material world, who has no means whatsoever for achieving the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord by his own efforts alone, by coming in contact with transcendental personalities, it awakens within their hearts the desire to engage in service to Krishna. And, of course, when did they become qualified, as we explained? How did they become qualified for Shuddha Bhakti? The Adhikara, that qualification for Shuddha Bhakti, appears within their heart with this Shraddha, intense faith. When Shraddha appears within the heart. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he gives the example in his Bhakti Tattva Viveka. He explains that the Shraddha, or faith, is awakened in the association of devotees. He said, when one is not, he quotes Rupa Goswami from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, when one is not too attached to or too detached from this material world, and if by good fortune he develops a desire to render service of Krishna, then he develops the qualification for pure devotional service. And then he goes on to explain that worldly-minded persons, when they realize the futility of the material world, after having suffered so different, been afflicted with so many different types of sufferings from this material world, or having suffered for having their material desires unfulfilled for prolonged for so long a time, then what happens within their heart begin to lead their lives in a mood of detachment. And in that mood of detachment, if by good fortune they come in contact with a devotee, and then they hear from the devotee how there's no higher goal in life than Krishna's lotus feet. So when they hear that there's no other goal, this is the highest goal, and because some detachment has awakened within their heart, they're leading their life in the mood of detachment. But by association with a bhakti, with a devotee of the Lord, then what happens is that they begin to get some faith, shraddha. Faith is awakened within their heart. That the goal is Krishna's lotus feet. And then he says that once this shraddha appears within the heart, then what happens? He says shraddha is just like the birth of a newborn baby girl. When a newborn baby girl appears, the mother and the father, they're very, very careful to protect this baby girl. How do they protect the baby girl? They protect the baby girl from severe heat or severe cold, or from extreme hunger or thirst, from dangerous creatures. Right? So when this shraddha appears, it's just like a newborn baby girl. It needs to be protected. And what is these dangerous elements compared to? These dangerous elements are compared to be the bhukti and mukti. The desire for enjoyment, the desire for liberation. These are described by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. There's the only other desires Besides the genuine desire to serve the Lord, the only other desires, they all fall under the category of bhakti and mukti. The desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent, and the desire to become freed from suffering and to achieve liberation. Bhakti mukti spriha yavat pisachi hidivartate. Rupa Goswami says that bhakti and mukti, these are compared to be like two witches which haunt one like a ghost. As long as these two witches are there within the heart, one will never be able to taste the bliss of devotional service to Krishna. Therefore, this Shraddha, when it's awakened within the heart, one has to protect it by keeping oneself in the association of those devotees who are protectors, the guardians of our devotional service, the guardians of our faith, who are helping us, protecting us from the influence of bhakti and mukti, and who are nourishing us. How are they nourishing us? Just like a mother, she protects the baby, but she also nourishes the baby. The baby requires food. She nourishes the baby by offering her breast milk. The baby gets strength and nourishment. So in the same way, the guardians of devotional service, they're meant to nourish us, our devotion within our hearts, by always reminding us, what is the goal? That is nourishment. By giving us the opportunity to come in contact with the Lord, and reminding us that the goal is the lotus feet, the Shishi Radha Gopinath. That is the goal. The goal is simply to render unalloyed devotional service to their lotus feet for all of eternity. And as Maharaj was so nicely speaking about yesterday, how the devotees, they have no other desires within the core of their heart except to satisfy the Lord. And that is the symptom of love. Anya Bilashita Sunyam Gyanaka Manya Davatam Anukunyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Rutama. A devotional service must be rendered with a desire, intense desire, to satisfy, to please Krishna. And it has to be Anya Bilashita Sunyam. It has to be freed from all other motivations. That is the criteria. That is the goal. We need to be reminded constantly. And we need to cultivate that desire to become freed from all the obstacles on the path of devotional service, to become freed from all of these distractions. Maharaj compared these distractions to be like the tsunami or the earthquake, right? Earthquake that is taking place within the heart, these different types of desires, right? That will gradually, as long as we continue to meditate upon them, then in due course of time, what's going to happen is gradually it's going to create such destruction. So before the destruction comes, we actually have to cultivate the desire to get rid of them before the destruction comes. We have to actually pray to the Lord. We pray for the Vaishnavas, for their mercy. Please help me to eradicate these obstacles on the path of devotional service, because I know that these obstacles will create simply havoc in my spiritual life and will destroy my opportunity to actually achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This is what it means to strive by the right means. If one actually really wants to see Krishna in this life, if he wants to see Krishna with purified vision, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Grayam Indriyai Sevum Mukehi Jivado Svayami Vispuratyada. Krishna cannot be seen with these senses. He can only be seen with purified senses. These purified senses which have been saturated with devotional service, when the devotee has engaged his senses in satisfying the Lord and satisfying the devotees of the Lord, in this way with purified senses, then we can really see. Otherwise, even though the Lord appears before us to accept our service, we still may think he's stone or wood. We are not seeing. He's so kind, so merciful, so compassionate. But still we cannot see. We have to pray to see them. We have to pray for the eyes to see. We have to pray very intensely to eradicate these obstacles, desires for bhakti and mukti within our heart. We have to pray to keep ourselves in the association of Vaishnavas who are always reminding us, what is the goal? We have to pray, simply to take the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, just as like it's explained in, what is it, Chaitanya Bhagavat, how the Lord kindly appears in four forms, right, without necessary for installation. He appears in the form of Tulsi, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ganga, and the pure Vaishnavas. He said, but the Archa Vigraha before He is personally manifest, then first there must be pran pratishta. His presence must be invoked by the prayers of such Vaishnavas. By their mantras and by their prayers, as Prabhupada himself said, and when he was installing the deities, he would say, I'm simply praying that you come here and you accept their service. He was praying in this way so many times, so many lectures in his letters. He was praying to the Lord, please come, please appear. They have no qualification. But somehow be kind to them and simply appear to accept their service so they can become qualified and ultimately achieve your lotus feet. And Prabhupada, in fact, what is it in one, in, I think it was in a letter, he said, one should never think that the spiritual master has left us the deity as a burden in the neck. Right? Oh, we have this burden. No. So kind. He's invoked the Lord. He prayed to the Lord to appear. Now we have to take that opportunity to render service to the Lord and to pray to the Lord. Come before the Lord and petition the Lord with our prayers to please help me to become qualified to serve you purely without any desire, material motivations within the core of my heart. When such devotional service is executed in this mood, in this consciousness, and one understands what is the goal, then one can actually take full advantage of the association of the devotees of the Lord and the opportunity to achieve the darshan of the Lord, or to speak of, to achieve the darshan of the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, if we, by their mercy, by their kindness, if they give us the opportunity to hear the transcendental topics of the Supreme Lord, Taete sarava sadhi sarva sangha vivajita sangaste shvatate pratya sangha dosha harahite. As Lord Kapila Dev offers says to his mother Devahuti, that you have to seek out the association of such devotees, become attached to them, and by becoming attached to them, it will counteract all the pernicious effects of your material attachments. Madashriya kata mishta shinvanti kati yanti cha. Who? He says, engaged constantly in hearing and chanting about me. These devotees, they are always filled with thoughts of my activities and pastimes in this world. And therefore, they will not suffer from the miseries of this material world. They become free from illusion, lamentation, and fear. They forget about all the necessities of life because they're always absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the Lord very, very kindly and mercifully appears in their words and agrees to appear before us by His great mercy and kindness, so that we can always remember that the real goal of life, the ultimate goal of life, is to simply get the opportunity to see that beautiful, youthful form of Krishna. That is all. That is the goal. So once upon, by great fortune, upon seeing that beautiful, youthful form of Krishna in Vrindavan, then liberation stands waiting at the devotee's footsteps, a doorstep, with her hands folded, waiting to render service to him. And dharma, artha, and kama. Religiosity, economic development, sense enjoyment, they also stand behind, waiting for some opportunity to render service. Devotee, of course, is so satisfied by that opportunity to come in contact with the Lord that the devotee is not interested in any of these things. He's actually ultimately understood, he's achieved the greatest benediction in life to achieve the shelter of devotion, pure devotional service to the Lord. So therefore, in this verse, it is very nicely described by the priest that you have kindly appeared before us. We have no qualification. We are ignorant about the goal of life. We can't even offer you anything sufficient. What can we possibly offer you that is worthy of being for yourself to accept? Nothing. We have nothing worthy to offer you. But yet you are so kind that you have come here for our benefit. This is mercy. So we should always take advantage of the Lord's kindness and mercy and compassion. And take advantage of it means to, not that we simply try to take advantage of it in a material way, to think that, oh yes, let me take advantage of their association and therefore not make any effort myself. No, that's the wrong type of taking advantage. That's really taking advantage. Of course, we cannot take advantage of the Lord. He is too intelligent to allow himself to be tricked by those who have material motivations in this way. And of course, we understand that the devotee of the Lord He's even more merciful than the Lord, because the Lord, sometimes he may actually fulfill the desires as super soul within their hearts. He may give us the fulfillment of our material desires. But the devotee of the Lord, as Prabhupada explains, is can sometimes even consider to be more merciful than the Lord, because the devotee will only give Krishna. You may come to him for something else, but he knows this will not do him any good. So he's even sometimes understood to be even more merciful than the Lord. You come before a devotee of the Lord for something material, the devotee will simply take advantage of that opportunity to somehow awaken within our heart, somehow attract him to hear the transcendental topics of the Lord, so his heart can become clean from all of these material desires. He may some way appear to make some compromise, but it's only so that he can bring him to hear these transcendental topics of the Lord, so that gradually all of these desires that are within the heart will become purified. Shinvata svakata Krishna punya shava nikirtana Siddhantisto hyabhadani vidunoti suhitsutam. That's Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the super soul within the heart of living entities. He cleanses the desire for material enjoyment within the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear about him when properly heard and chanted. So, sometimes by the great mercy of the devotees of the Lord, they may appear to give us some concession. But we should never take advantage of that kindness. We should understand that their ultimate purpose, even in making such conceptions, is to somehow or other keep them in the association of Vaishnavas so they can hear the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord and be reminded that ultimately the goal is none other than at the lotus feet of Krishna. And the goal is ultimately to give up all of these things, all of these attachments that we're holding on so dearly, trying to protect in the material world. That is, if we actually understand that is the goal, then we've understood that we've really received the blessings of a Vaishnava. Then we've understood, now I've really taken advantage of Vaishnavas. Now I've understood. This is what it really means to take advantage of Vaishnavas. To come to this understanding. And therefore they are very kindly appearing and helping us to realize both by giving their opportunities to hear the glories of the Lord, and the Lord himself is very kindly appearing in his form of the Achavigraha. Give us the opportunity to serve him, to worship him, to pray before him, and to ultimately help us realize that there's no higher achievement, no higher goal in life than to be fully sheltered at the lotus feet of the Lord and rendering devotional service and spontaneous ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments, Maharaj? You did it to me yesterday. So you please say something? Correct me? Chastise me? Punish me? Anything? Make me your servant. Come on, yesterday somebody carried the microphone immediately over to me.
Niranjan Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Yes. Technical question. I'm not such a technical person.
You said about the four kinds of people, pious people.
Uh-huh.
What is the difference between inquisitive and wise? Appear to be same.
Inquisitive? Inquisitive could ask about anything. That's the nature of an inquisitive person. Just like there's different levels of knowledge. One's called Pratyaksha, Paroksha, Aparoksha, Adhoksaja, and Aprakrita. First is Pratyaksha, direct sense perception. Then Paroksha means to hear, to be inquisitive, ask questions. But it could be about any subject matter. Of course, the sages in Naimisharanya, they were inquisitive. They wanted to know about proper sacrifices to be performed. But those who are wise, was Bahunam Janmananti Gyanavamam Papajite Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sudulava. After many, many births, one who's actually wise, he knows me to be the goal. He doesn't ask about anything else except how to achieve me. So I would understand that to be the difference between those who are inquisitive and those who are wise. Of course, those who are inquisitive, if they have the great fortune to, as we made this the point Bhaktivinoda Thakur made, if they have by great fortune they come in contact with a devotee, then they learn the right questions to ask. And therefore, Sutta Goswami says, "O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are glorious, because your questions relate to Lord Krishna and therefore are relevant to the whole world's welfare. Only questions of this sort can satisfy the self." So then, Sutta Goswami glorifies the sages. Yes, you've asked the right questions. But it's because Sutta Goswami was there to give the right answers. And therefore they waited. They got the opportunity. Sutta Goswami was there. Now we have the right person to give us the right answers. So now, by his association, now we'll ask the right questions. One actually has to have faith. If I ask the right questions, I'll get the right answers. That faith also is awakened in the association of devotees. Isn't it? Otherwise, sometimes you think, "Oh, I don't know if I should ask him this. You know, I don't know if he really knows the answer." And you know, right? But if you have faith, then you'll want to ask that which is most relevant, because you have faith. He has an answer.
Maharaj, you talked about Sukriti's different kinds of karmonukha, jnanamukha, and etc. We talk about ajnana Sukriti, ajnat Sukriti.
Mm-hmm.
That is only of the bhakti type and not the other two. That is, say someone who is working for the temple is taken the charge of painting or construction work. And he gets remuneration for it. So is that also Gyata Sukriti, because he's getting benefited? I mean, he takes his payment for it. How much of that is Gyata Sukriti?
His Gyata Sukriti is he's given the opportunity to be in the temple of the Lord. And although he may be doing some painting and taking some remuneration, still his Gyata Sukriti is that when the curtains open, he gets the darshan of Radha Gopinath. That's his Ajñāta Sukriti. His Ajñāta Sukriti is that if when the Bhagavatam class goes on, you know, somehow he may be painting in the back of the room and he may hear something from the back of the room. Or somehow, you know, he's in the association of devotees and somehow the devotees give him another opportunity to do something which he's not getting a remuneration for. And by doing that... I understand that's a Gyata Sukriti. But if one is simply motivated for some remuneration, that's... Of course, we understand, was that verse, Akama Samakavava Mokshakama Udaradi Tivena Bhakti Yogina Yajita Purusha Param, that whether one is freed from material desires, he has no material desires, was full of material desires, desiring liberation. One who has broader intelligence, by all means, he must worship the Supreme Lord. So even if one is full of material desires, right, if he comes in contact with the Supreme Lord, he could become purified. Right? But that Ajñāta Sukriti is actually when he renders some service, unknowingly, without any expectation of return. That is what I understand is to be Ajñāta Sukriti. Maharaj, would you like to add something to that? No? So, and then after obtaining Ajñāta Sukriti, then the result is of that Ajñāta Sukriti, one renders some service. what happens is that by getting that Sukriti for devotional service, then what happens is that it's not that he can always continue to do it unknowingly and then achieve. No, at some point he has to go on his own strength. Now he has to understand, I have to do something now. By my own desire, I have to do something to please the Lord. That's a Gyata Sukriti. Right? He does it unknowingly, but then he's realized, he's come in contact, and now he realized, oh, or just like, you know, just like I think here in this chapter, I think it's also the priest and Maharaj Nabi, when the Lord appears before them, then they say, we come before you asking for some material benediction. We're asking for some, you know, I think it states that they were asking for a son like the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada was explaining in the purport that actually they had some material desire, right? So of course, we understand that there may be some material desire, but the Lord, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada would oftentimes quote that verse, my devotee engages in my devotional service, but at the same time he wants the opulence of material enjoyment. He's like a fool who willingly gives up nectar to drink poison. Why should I give him material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget that when a devotee engages in my service, and I'll fulfill his desires in such a way that he won't come back and ask for it again. So that's, you know, Agyata Sukriti, is that we may do it, but the result is by coming in contact with devotional service, we lose the desire for some remuneration. And then we develop the desire to associate with devotees of the Lord and to hear the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord, and then, of course, to render service without it. Any desire for remuneration. Remuneration may come, but it's not a condition for our service. Does that answer your question?
About these other two types of Sukritis, they also have the Agyata type, or is it only for?
No, I understand when it's Agyata Sukriti, it's actually only with reference to devotional service. Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned about Dhruva Maharaj also. He became purified just by seeing the Lord.
I mentioned about what now?
Dhruva Maharaj, how he became. And about Gajendra also. But in the case of Maharaj Pururava, he also got the darshan of the Lord and he was praying for some other material things. But how he could not get free from lust. And Daksha also, he could see the Lord, but how he continued his anger, what was the reason?
The point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is one actually has to have the Sukriti. Without the Sukriti, even though one may get darshan of the Lord, even one may get the darshan of the devotee of the Lord, even one may have the opportunity to complete opportunity to render pure devotional service. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was giving nothing but pure devotional service to the Lord. Many heard from him, many got their darshan, but not everyone had the Sukriti to take up his instructions. Although some seed may have been planted, certainly, that's a Gyata Sukriti. Some seed may have been planted and in some future life, they may actually remember that when in the times of distress or great difficulty, when the Lord, or under circumstances when everything has been taken away, they may actually remember that contact they had with the Lord. And then at that point, they can actually. But it may not manifest immediately in this life. They may not have the Sukriti. So we should try to achieve the Sukriti. Right? We should seek out. That's why Ramananda Roy says, real, not by pious activities of millions of births, but wherever one sees it, one should purchase it without delay. Then you get the Sukriti. That's the Sukriti you need. You beg for it with intense desire to obtain it. That's the price that needs to be paid. Now I see what the goal is. Now I have it. I want to pay the price, that lobha, that tends greed to obtain it. That's Sukriti. contact with transcendental personalities, which gives rise to an intense desire to serve Krishna. That is Sukriti. Okay. I think we should end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.